You're listening to WMIE, today's Modern Worship, 91.5 FM.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And welcome to Tuesday here in beautiful Brevard County, Florida. And this happens to be one of my favorite times of the year. Not because of all of the tax filings and all of that that's got to be done, but I went and I look at my bill spreadsheet, and this is the time of year my electric bill is lower than it is any other time during the year. And so we are thankful for a little relief in the budget in that arena. So my name is Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God, 165 North Grove Street, Merritt Island, Florida. And we've been doing the Refresh radio program with you right here on WMIE 91.5 FM for over 9 years now. We're going to spend the next half hour talking about the truth of God's word. And right now we are in the book of 2 Corinthians. The book of 2 Corinthians, we've been going through the Sermon on the Mount. We're getting very, very close to the end of that study, and then we're going to transition into another topic. But right now, we are talking about lawlessness, which is right there at the very end portion of Matthew chapter 7, where Jesus says to them, if my pages will not stick together on me, he says in verse number 23, "And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness." So we don't want episodes of lawlessness in our life, and we certainly don't want to be practicing lawlessness. And so we're focusing on what lawlessness in the scripture looks like. And like I said, this is one of those words that through the years I had heard the term in church circles, but I've never heard it as much as I have the past 10 or 15 years in America, because the farther we get away from God and the farther we get away from God's law and God's order, the only other domain is into an area of lawlessness. When you abandon the law, you are left with nothing left but lawlessness. And so 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 11, O Corinthians, we have spoken openly to you. Our heart is wide open. You are not restricted by us, but you are restricted by your own affections. Now, in return for the same, I speak as to children, you also be open. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. So on yesterday's program, we had concluded by talking in verse number 12, you are not restricted by us, but you are restricted by your own affections. So to start off with today, I want to take that out of the negative. So yesterday we were talking about how the things that move us, the the things that we're affectionate about, that we are compassionate about, that move us like Jesus was moved with compassion, there are carnal things that move us, and those things restrict us in the spiritual realms of our lives. They provide the ceiling for us, and that's not something that we want to do. We don't want to limit our effectiveness or our capacity for growth. So today I want to turn the coin over for just a little bit here, and I want to ask you, what are the things that motivate you? What are the things that would not be restrictions, or would not be affections that restrict you, but they would be affections that motivate you? And those things that move you in a positive direction, those things, if you can focus on them, you know, like I talked about the guy who said that all of the doors that have opened to him in his life are because he drove a school bus well, or a church bus well. So what is it that moves you? I had a guy that one time, and he came to me. He's very honest. He said, "I don't agree with any of your church theology except for the fact that you believe in divine healing." That was the thing that motivated him. And so he came to church for a good season. It was divine healing that motivated him. Now, listen, I've, in 30 years of pastoring, I have heard all sorts of statements, and many times on the same day, you know, it's too hot, it's too cold. It's too loud, it's too quiet. In one day, I had two people that left to go to other places. One of them said that we were not Pentecostal enough, and the other one said that we were too Pentecostal. You know, at those points in times, there are things that motivated those people that caused them to take steps. And, you know, in all the years, I may have told this story not too long ago, but we had a gentleman that left, and he came to me and he said, "Pastor Bob, you're my second favorite pastor of all time. And my first favorite pastor just moved back into the area, and he's pastoring a church, and I want to go help him to get that church up and running." And that church is thriving now, even though the gentleman I'm talking about, he passed away, and the other person returned to the mission field, and I think actually retired from the mission field. But I was like, you know, that is just about the greatest compliment that I've ever had from someone who was, you know, moving on to a different church. And so I prayed a prayer of blessing over him and left. There are things that motivate you. And if we can get those things moving for the kingdom of God, then there will not be any limitations on what God can do. You know, we provide the restrictions. God provides the omnipotence. And so I coined a term, you know, not too long ago, that omnipotence is greater than powerful. All powerful is greater than powerful. All strength is greater than strength. So I just wanted to give you something to think about this morning, about what it is in a positive sense that motivates you, and then also evaluate that in the opposite direction and says, what are some of the things that you are passionate about that are restricting your service, your growth, and your passion in the kingdom of God? We want those things gone so that the things that you are passionate about for the kingdom of God, those things will be the driving force in your life. So verse number 14, it says, "Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers." Now, this is written to believers. Okay, this is written to people and saying from this point forward, you need to have your relationship with Jesus Christ as your top priority in your life. And so any future decisions that you make, here are some of the criteria. So back in December, one of the ladies from our church had posted a series of questions that Creflo Dollar was advising people in their relationship, you know, about whether or not they were going to have a relationship with a person more than just being friends. And he goes off and he rattles these questions off very, very quickly. And the ultimate question is this: do you have a relationship with Jesus Christ? How are you developing your relationship with Jesus Christ? You would have to go back and look up the video clip, because it's people are just really laughing at the questions, but they are all very, very serious questions. If Jesus is the most important person in my life, and you and I were to enter into a life agreement where we were yoked together, then Jesus would need to be the most important person in your life. And so I tell people, relationships are hard. Relationships without Jesus are almost impossible. They're extremely difficult. And so through the years, My wife and I, we've had our various seasons where there were times that she was up and I was down. There were times when I was up and she was down. And what we were able to do, because we are yoked together equally, is we were able to help the other one through that difficult season where they were going through a physical struggle or a season of discouragement or mourning or whatever it might be, discouragement from sickness or disease or financial challenges, whatever it might be. We were there for one another. And, you know, the great thing about being in the body of Christ is very rarely in the nearly four decades that we have known one another have both of us been down at the same time. There have been a lot of times, the majority of the time, where both of us are doing superbly spiritually at the same time. Those are wonderful times. So he says, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. This is a term that primarily is from a bygone era in agricultural terms, where two animals would be connected together and both of them would be connected to pulling a plow. One of them would be the lead animal. The other one would be learning and providing the strength and the partnership to go along. And I want you to know that the strength of any person's life comes when they are yoked together with Jesus Christ. Outside of that, You've got a fleeting gift that is nothing more than a vapor. But when you've got Jesus Christ in your life, there is an enduring strength and an enduring wisdom. And the great thing, one of the many great things about God, is he's not trying to conceal it. He's not trying to hoard it all to himself. He's looking to manifest his strength, his wisdom, his grace, his peace, his joy, his love to as many people as will say yes to his forgiveness and yes to his lordship. And so not only are we yoked with him, but we are also to be equally yoked together. Now, if you got married and you were both unbelievers, more than likely at some point in time, one of the family members got saved before the other one did. And during that process, you know, you are supposed to be the love of Christ on display. So, you know, there's admonitions in the scriptures. I'm going to let you go study those for yourself. But you and I are supposed to be covenant-keeping people, both with Jesus and with others. And I've got a friend of mine. Our first meeting was a very fleeting meeting. He was the one who opened the church for my wife and I the day that we got married. It was one of his last acts of ministry because he was going to be taking a church in Florida. I didn't know where he was going to. He just told me when he opened the church that day and we got to meet that that he was going to be, you know, leaving that church, and he actually went on and pastored in Tampa, and now he serves in the national office. And so he was our guest speaker last year for our 70th anniversary service at Merit Assembly of God, and he had written a book. And so his wife said, you should give him a copy of your book to read. And so a few weeks went by, and I received his book in the mail. And it described what a challenging man he was to live with. He grew up in a very, very challenging environment. He was a diamond in the rough, and I want to emphasize the rough at that point in time. He had a lot going on, and his wife got saved, and he gave her an ultimatum and said, you know, either you choose me or you choose Jesus. And he just knew for sure that she was going to choose him because he was the breadwinner. She had no place to go. They had, I think, young children at the time. And she said, well, you know, if I have to choose, then I'm going to choose Jesus. And let me tell you, this lady is just a precious, precious saint of God. She may be a little bit more on the quiet side than some people that you think, but there is a spiritual strength in that woman that has been developed through decades of walking with Jesus. And her faith on display ended up leading that person into a wholehearted covenant relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, to the point where they went being equally yoked in unbelief. They were unequally yoked for a short season, and now they're equally yoked in faith in Jesus Christ. So we always instructed our kids, because the world is a very deceptive place. It's a very deceptive place, to the point that they think, well, I'm okay in my relationship with Jesus, and so I'm going to win this person to Christ, even though they're not a Christian, through our dating relationship. There's a term that's been referred to as missionary dating. You know, I'm going to date this unbeliever, and as a result of that, they're going to become a believer. Let me tell you that the vast amount of evidence demonstrates that the opposite happens more than that happens, where the person who had faith in Jesus ends up compromising their faith, and before you know it, neither one of them are in the house of God. I'm not saying it doesn't happen. God's an omnipotent God, and he's done some amazing things. But I can tell you that the principle from the scripture says, if you are a believer and you are looking to find that precious gift that God has for you for the remainder of your life, the first item on the list is not, are they beautiful or are they handsome? It is not, are they rich or are they poor? It is not, are they good looking or not good looking? It's not any of those things. It's not if they're smart or if they're not smart. It's, are they living in a relationship with God? And so Paul is setting the stage here, and there are a lot of questions that he poses after that, that shows the incompatibility, you know. So this is not just a marriage thing. This could be a business thing. You know, every once in a while you hear about these massive businesses that collapse, and it would be because they're not operating by godly standards. And, you know, what happens is a lot of people get caught up in the collateral downfall, and they might have had all of their ducks in a row, but the people that they were walking in covenant with didn't, and the collapse was great and the loss was severe. So be very, very careful. Verse number 14 continues, for what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And that brings us to why we are here at this passage. And it says, for what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? That word fellowship here, there's a similar word in the next question, and that is communion. Both of them mean fellowship or participation. Shared participation or fellowship. They're almost like synonyms here at this particular point in time. So in this one, what shared participation is there in righteousness with lawlessness? So this word righteousness means a person who is in right standing with God and aligned with God's law. So what shared participation is there between a person who is walking in accordance and obedience to God's law and someone who is operating in the realm of lawlessness, where they don't care what the word says, they don't care what God says, they're going to do whatever it is they want to do? Where is the shared participation? What fellowship, what kind of relationship is possible when one person is living by the rules and one person is completely ignoring the rules? And don't think that just because we're in churches that there are not people who are operating outside of the rules. A friend of mine tells this story about a church that he was at one time, and they had hired a new staff person, and this person came, and they made the decision that they needed to rearrange some things, and so they went to another classroom, and they reappropriated some of the items from that classroom into another classroom. And the staff people who had been there before said, have you talked to pastor about that? And they said, no. I operate by the principle, it's easier to get forgiveness than permission. And they said, oh no. And so he went on and some time had gone by, and the pastor walked by, and he did a double take, and he backtracked, and he came into the classroom, and he looked around, and He continued walking down the hall, and it wasn't long after that that the staff person, now this goes back decades, was coming back into the original classroom, bringing all of the things that he'd taken out of the classroom, and they said, "What are you doing?" He said, "Well, I discovered that it's not easier to get forgiveness than permission." I don't know where that mindset came from, but it's not godly. In the kingdom of God, we are talking about being in right standing and properly aligned with the Word of God. And I'll say one more thing. Partial obedience is not obedience. Partial obedience is not obedience. So I saw a picture recently, and the mother had told this toddler to not take food into the living room, and they weren't supposed to bring a book into the kitchen, or they weren't supposed to bring an electronic device or something into the kitchen. And so this child had laid down at the threshold, and they had their food on the kitchen side, and they had their electronic device or whatever the other one was. They had that on the living room side. And so they were in technical compliance with the instructions that the parents had given, but they were really just trying to make, you know, they were looking for the loophole, and they had found it. You know what a believer is not looking for? A believer is not looking for a loophole as a reason to disobey God's command. And so if we surround ourselves with people and know those that labor among us, that they are going to operate with the same heart for the Word of God and the law of God as we do, then we're going to be able to have shared participation. But if there are other people who completely disregard the Word of God, that is going to be a frustrated and disrupted relationship. And God says, "I want to save you a lot of misery and a lot of heartache. I want you to do it in alignment with the Word of God." And so, hey, if you do not have a church home, I want to invite you to Merit Assembly of God. I'm not the smartest. I'm not the youngest. But I tell you what I do. I preach the Word of God. I love people. And if you don't have a church home, I want to encourage you to come to Merit Assembly of God. It would be a privilege for me to help you in your walk with Christ. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, meritassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to meritassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."
How deep the Father's love for